This episode of Walt Disney World Today is sponsored by MEI and MouseFan Travel, who specialize in cruises and vacation packages to Disney and other destinations around the world. MEI and MouseFan Travel is an authorized Disney vacation planner. They provide their signature services with no additional agency fees. To get your free no-obligation quote, visit www.mousefantravel.com. Bringing the world to your world, this is Walt Disney World Today. Here are Mike Scopa, Len Testa, Mike Newell, and your host, Matt Hochberg.
It's Saturday, February 25th, 2012, and this is episode 1000 of WW Today.
Wow.
I'm your host, Matt Hochberg from StudiosCentral.com. Joining me to my right is Mike Scopa, a senior feature writer and blogger for AllEars.net. Welcome, Mike.
For the 1000th show, I decided to do a visual podcast opening.
Oh, see, no.
If you can guess which attraction this comes from. I have never used a podcast opening from this attraction. Are you ready?
Splashtacular.
Muppets.
Whoa! Killer Chickens! Killer Chickens! Flights of Wonder. Very good.
Oh, Flights of Wonder.
I didn't know it.
Wow.
Also joining us on today's show is Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Mike, you must be happy because we've outsourced the recording of this episode.
And it's thank God for Mike, the recording. Thank God he's here.
His name is Mike?
His name is Mike.
We guys have a union?
Debbie was sick, so union sent me.
Also joining us on today's show is Len Testa, co-author of The Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World.
How's
welcome
going,
to the show, Len.
How's it going, Matt?
Outstanding.
Yay. That's it?
That's all?
That's all you have?
And also joining us on today's show is the fabulous Annette Owens, a manager of customer relations and group services for MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. Welcome, Annette.
Thanks. You can't forgive me if I'm sitting next to you, can't you?
And on today's episode, we're actually having a very special episode, as it is episode 1000, and we brought on Mr. Fred Block of Magic Meets Fame to host this episode, because Fred's got some questions for us, and we're going to be looking back at not only WW Today, but Walt Disney World, and also looking to the future a little bit. And Fred, you're the master of MCs on this episode, so I hand it over to you, sir.
I warned them that this was going to be a bad idea. Thank you very much. Like I said before, I'm very honored to be here. Thanks for asking me, guys. I'm glad to be able to partake in the fun. So, one of the things that I did to prepare for the show today was I listened to a lot of the older episodes, and I mean a lot of them, and definitely had a lot of yucks. I wholeheartedly recommend that even if you've been a listener for, you know, a couple of years and haven't really had a chance to listen to all of the earlier episodes or to go way back, you got to do it. There's a number of reasons you'll laugh. There's a lot of tidbits that you'll get to learn. And it started to make me think, and one of the first questions I wanted to pose today was, obviously, it all started back in 2005, over 6 years ago, and I kind of had to start thinking, you know, why? I'm going to start with you, Matt. What happened that made you guys think in 2005 that you wanted to do a Disney podcast?
Well, in 05, podcasting was starting as like a kind of a big deal in the internet community. I think, you know, I know that I started listening to a couple different podcasts, and naturally, having at the time MGMstudios.org, I thought, well, how cool would it be to do a podcast just like the real show?
Wow. That's amazing. Go on mute while you have that call.
Yeah. I thought, you know, how cool would it be to have a podcast about Walt Disney World and kind of, you know, dive into stuff with some friends, and the panel idea seemed a great idea. And I knew Newell. We traded some emails back and forth between me and Len. I didn't know Scopa at all. And then I emailed Len, and Len was saying that he was talking to Mike about starting a show, about a podcast, and we kind of were like, well, let's pool our resources together, right?
Yeah, let's all do, we thought we would all come together, the four of us, to do the show. And then I think literally the first show was like, "Hi, we're getting ready to do a podcast. Tune in next week."
Yeah, I joked. It's like the old Simpsons episodes where where Homer sounds like, "Hello, son."
I was actually using a Barbie microphone that my daughter had to record the show. Honestly, God.
So it's just an idea to see if it'll stick. I mean, Mike, what was your expectation going in?
Well, it was funny because back in April, I was talking with another group about doing a podcast, and then I remember hearing, you know, it'll never get off the ground. It's like in The American Venture when someone says Carnegie Hall, oh, it'll never work, you know, Mark Twain. So my expectations was that we would help those who are infrequent visitors to Walt Disney World, help them plan, try to give them some idea as to what to expect and help them with the finances, the planning and all that, but who knew?
I think the really interesting thing was I thought the podcast would augment our sites. Like, it would be a way that we could drive traffic to our own sites, right? It's like another hook in the water, so to speak. But actually, the podcast the reverse has happened. The podcast has become such a big deal that it's taken on a life of its own.
Yep.
And that was really the biggest surprise going in.
Mike, give us your thoughts a little bit. So, you know, a lot of the time in the earlier episodes, you were a little bit quiet, maybe, and more behind the scenes kind of guy. What were you thinking all along, and what kind of made you think that this was going to be a show that, you know, you were going to want to do and want to take off with?
I was thinking, what did I get myself into? That's what I was thinking.
Exactly.
Well, it's funny, because when I started, I knew Matt, but I knew Matt by email. I never met him.
Yeah, we never met anyone.
I never met him. And we did 4 months of shows before I met Len or Mike. So I didn't even know. I knew the unofficial guy, but I didn't know anything behind it. And Mike, I knew nothing about. So it wasn't until MouseFest 2005 when I first met everybody. So we had done 4 months of shows before I even knew what these guys looked like. Believe it or not. So.
It's like internet dating. It's
like back in Skype 1.0 days, right? You know,
yeah,
like that was the beginning.
It was terrible. The sound was, it was just awful back then.
Oh, so it wasn't because of production? It was
I was recording back then.
By your
so
tongue.
It probably wasn't me.
There you go.
Speakerphone on a telephone.
But yeah, so it has improved. So obviously over the years, it's gotten better.
How did they talk you into it, Len? How did they talk you into it?
Yeah, how did you guys talk me into that?
It was the pictures that they had of you.
Yeah, Matt said I was going to do this or else. I think that's what it was. No,
I think so.
No, it seemed like a fun idea. You know, I was working for the guide, you know, writing the book, and we had email and everything. But it's all, you know, sort of one way communication. It's never us, you know, talking back. So I thought it'd be a good idea for us to, you know, do some shows where we could, in a long form, you know, instead of being constrained by pages or by, you know, websites or whatever, just try and talk to people about topics that interested us. So it's worked out really well. We've got a lot of great feedback on shows, you know, where we do topics. So now, typically when I propose a topic on the show, it's usually something that we're thinking about for the book, and you guys get to hear literally the first version of it or the ideas that we, you know, we're kicking around. And then as we get feedback from the show, we'll start to incorporate that into actual writing, and then maybe it'll go become a blog post and we'll get even more feedback, and then eventually it'll get into book. So the podcast is really sort of the first draft of all the new stuff that goes into the books and on the sites now.
That's great. Okay, so like I was saying, we're going to kind of test the panel a little bit randomly throughout the day, and I went through a lot of shows and I got some quotes. Sorry.
That's my answer. It's my answer for everything.
See that?
No,
that's my bad.
Didn't say anything.
That's a good question, actually. How did Annette get involved or sucked in?
She entered a contest.
Yeah, she lost.
Thank you.
Sorry.
See that, you know, the diversions that I wasn't prepared for.
The funniest is it's all Fred's fault. how I got introduced to these guys, and I know several people have heard this, I was last minute called in to do a presentation at Magic Meets. And
so it's your fault.
It is your fault.
So it all comes back to Fred. I got ready to start the presentation, tripped over a cord, and fell into someone's lap. And somehow or another, here I am. I'm not sure
Internet gold.
It was like the only thing we talked about that whole night, too, just laughing and laughing. And, well.
Well, and it was the same Magic Meets that I had Scopa with the helium.
The helium moment, yes.
Yeah, so somehow another. Don't ask me. I don't recommend that for job interviews. Don't recommend it.
Hello.
I'll be happy to answer your questions. On your lap.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, okay. All right.
Keep going. Keep moving.
That's all our lawyers will let us say on that topic. Go ahead.
At least in front of a microphone. All right. So it wasn't easy. I'm going to pose the quote that I had picked out to the panel here, and I'm going to go to the audience to see if anybody here can figure it out. And all we're looking for really is who said it. And if you can volunteer anything more than that, more power to you. So let's start.
This is brilliant.
My favorite place is within one hand, fish and chips, and in the other hand, a yard of Bass Ale.
Len Testa.
Len Testa, for sure.
We were supposed to let them answer
yes.
first.
Sorry. I don't know that I said that.
Fail.
I don't know that I said that.
Fail. It should have gone over the rules. Anybody know? Raise your hand if you know.
I'm not entirely certain I said that. Go ahead.
You know? You think you know?
Oh, let me just say, allegedly said. Oh. Go ahead.
So, what do you guys think?
It was Len.
I say Len.
Len. Go with Scoba.
Annette.
You are incorrect. All of you. It was Mr. Hochberg. Episode 6.
What?
Uh-huh. Episode 6?
September 30th, 2005.
Oh, episode 6, Return of the Jedi. Yeah, yeah.
And it was while they were
I don't recall that moment.
It's while they were discussing the best places to
Your
watch
Honor, I don't
fireworks.
Recall that.
How do we forget that?
It's the Twinkie defense. I don't
Seriously, was he
It's
old
not that old, right?
At that point.
Yeah, yeah. Were you old enough to drink?
You couldn't even rent a car back then.
I was young, college, experimenting.
We were buying for them. We were buying for him, remember? Yeah.
Okay, so let's
had to drive him around. But, no, never mind.
We still are.
Is it really, right?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ka-ching.
Let's try to do one more. Now remember, hold your answers. Let's see if anybody can figure it out. If you do know the answer, raise your hand. I'll come over to you. That's probably the second best thing Tone Loke ever did.
What was it? What, Tom?
Tone Loke?
If you know the answer, raise your hand. Ah, somebody might know. That's probably the second best thing Tone Loke ever did. You know the answer?
Well, we're going to guess that Len is the only one who would reference Tone Loke on the podcast.
Thank you, Kim.
And that would be correct. Len said that in episode 68. March 1st, 2006.
I'm trying to figure out what the best thing Tone Loke ever did.
So that was when you guys were talking about music from Food Rocks.
Oh, there you go.
Len's favorite attraction, Food Rocks.
So, all right, so we know why you guys started. We know where, you know, where you've gotten. One of the things I think we'd want to go with, and I'm going to start with Annette on this.
Good.
In all of the years you've been doing it, I'm curious what... What, if any way, has the podcast affected or changed your life?
Why are we starting with me? I guess the biggest thing would be I used to come in the parks and walk around and everybody would look and go, what's that strange woman with heels doing in the parks? And now people will go, Annette! Annette! So if there's some blonde-headed chick running around in the park with heels, I guess they become me. I don't know. But, you know... Now I don't have people calling me weird. They call me by name. It's kind of funny. I think the other thing is, you know, I used to come down here and I come with my family, and now I find myself coming with friends. Not that I don't like my family, but I do a lot more with these guys coming down and doing these events, and that's been, you know, that's definitely changed my life, doing events with you guys and, you know, the nights when y'all can find me.
Matt, how about you? How has the podcast affected your life?
Well, I think an obvious one is I moved here. I'm not sure I would have moved certainly as early as I did without the podcast. I think that was a big factor. I mean, there were so many events going on, both unofficial and official.
Yeah!
I was actually going to break into song and tell you about my life.
We said there needed to be music to cut you off when you talk too long.
Jared! I'd like to thank the Academy.
You know I think the biggest way besides that is just, and that you kind of hit upon that, when you're in the parks and you start seeing people when you're not expecting to see people, which is great. You run into people in the parks, and I've kind of, you almost take it for granted too a little bit because, you know, you go to, if I go to the park tomorrow or next week, I'm probably, you know, there's a good chance I'll see somebody I know there. And when I go to, like, like I go to like a work conference that has nothing to do with Disney, and you go to this basically kind of the same setup as this, right? A bunch of internet nerds who are in the same place, and I don't know anybody. And like no one knows me, and it's weird because like I'm so used to going to these functions, and you see Deb Wills, you see Lou, you'll see Cheryl, you'll see like a, you know 100 people that I know, and that's really changed my life. Is that I know so many people when I'm going into the parks now, and it's great. So from the social standpoint, I love it.
Mr. Newell's trying to cheat.
I want to see what the next question is.
Yeah, I hear that. So now you're it.
Oh, great.
How has the podcast affected your life?
Well, I haven't watched primetime TV since 2005.
I know Scopa has. Has it affected his watching?
We record at 8 o'clock.
Yeah. But I mean, I commute. It takes me 2 hours each way, door to door. So I literally walk in the door when Matt's calling me on Skype. So I haven't had dinner with my wife at home either in the last 7 years. So
it's a lot. So it's not just, you know, so we know that you're recognized a lot of times when you're walking through the parks. No, nobody knows you, huh?
No.
The infamous, the silent one.
Like it that way.
You know, we know that you travel a lot. And we know that you have to give a lot of your personal time, devotion to making the show as best as you possibly can. Like you said, stepping off the bus, jumping on the air, and recording right away. Glenn, how about you?
Hello. I think one of the ways that's affected I think all of us is we spend a lot more time thinking about the show and about Disney than we would otherwise. So, you know, we're doing 3 shows a week. Pretty much every day we're thinking about a topic or, you know, doing some research on something that would make a good show topic. Whereas before, you know, even with the guide, you know, we publish the guide twice a year. So there'd be times where you could, you know, do something else for a month or two. But literally every single day we're trying to think about something, you know, Disney related. We're answering emails. We're interacting with you guys, with the listeners. I think that's one thing. That it's really 365 days now of Disney. And I'm not complaining. I think that's great. I think it's fantastic.
Do you find yourself, going back quite a ways, do you find yourself, like you kind of intro to this, thinking things differently when you're answering a question now compared to the way you used to do it back then?
We've definitely got feedback on things that, feedback from listeners on things that have changed, I think, my opinion on certain things. Like, I used to think the dining plan wasn't good at all for anyone, and there are instances now where I think it makes sense. And you know, some of the resorts I think are better.
I think we definitely say things. I know that personally. I might have an opinion on something, and I know that's going to generate tweets, comments on the website that, you know, they don't agree with my comment, which is fine. But to what you were saying, Fred, a lot of times I'll say something knowing that that's going to do it. And sometimes I say something that I think is pretty innocuous, and then, you know, it ignites a firestorm. So who knows?
Mr. Scopa.
So I'm listening to everybody and I'm thinking, okay, there must be a story or two I can mention that conveys what this thing has done with me. And one story involves Matt and me in Magic Meets. We were standing outside the elevator and we were talking about something. And there were two women about 10 feet from us and they said, "Those are the guys from the podcast."
Yeah, I remember that.
And they heard our voice. Len and I were at Rope Drop in the Magic Kingdom where we were talking, and I don't have an accent. Everybody else has an accent.
Exactly.
But someone said, "Well, you're Mike Scopa, or you're Len Testa." And then when we were running in the 13K. Yeah.
Let's go back to that story. So we're doing Rope Drop, right? And Scopa's talking, and somebody walks up to Mike and says, "Excuse me, are you Mike Scopa?" And I looked at him like, I'm like, damn. And they're like, "And you're Len Testa." Just from the one word, it was hysterical.
So my point is that when you talk about how it's changed our lives, I think, you know, we all had an audience. I was writing for Mouse Planet and doing a few other things. But with the podcast, you reach more people, and now they heard us. So I can't tell. There's another story. This is a great story. I was in Buzz Lightyear, and I had a WW Today shirt on. And it's one of the first ones with the four of us that Chris had done, light blue shirt. And I'm in line, and I heard this couple behind us, and the guy was talking about, "Oh, those three guys, you know, I listened to that podcast." And I turned around, and I said, "So you listened to that podcast?" And he says, "Yeah." I said, "I never listened to him." And he looked at me, he said, "Say that again." And he said, "Oh my God, you're one of those guys." And I said, "Yeah, but it's just a podcast. Can we take a photo?" and can I have my wife take a photo? And I said, sure, no problem. So I'm standing next to him, and it's really funny because he put his hand on my back, and he was shaking, and I'm thinking, I got to settle this guy down. So my point in all this is that the voice is now carrying. So it's not just the words that we write, it's the words that we speak. And it enables us to meet so many people. And like Glenn said, it gives us feedback. So that's pretty important, and it tells us if we're doing a good job, if we're hitting the spot where it should be hit, and if we have to adjust. So I think that's made a difference. I think it makes us better in what we do, and that is trying to help people pamper themselves. So that's the biggest change, Fred, for me.
Okay. So,
wait, were you over at the dessert bar? Was that?
I was hoping.
No wonder they're gone.
Are there some eclairs left?
I was hoping nobody would notice. So, all right. So, in 6 years, a lot has happened, right? You know, both with the podcast and also at Disney World. And I think I'd like to start a round of, you know, between when the podcast started and now, if you could think of two or three things that have changed at Disney World, what would that be, Len?
Me first? Okay. I think the first thing is the dining plan has really changed.
Oh, I stole it.
Ah, suckers! Yeah. Sorry, guys. I'll go really long
ladies
so you
first.
Guys can talk about it. Yeah, I think the dining plan has really changed a number of things. One is it's got more people to experience Disney's sit-down restaurants. And that's a good thing. But then on the Disney side, to see how they've adapted to all the extra demand for the restaurants has been really interesting. So, you know, you guys have seen this. They've increased the price of the dining plan. They've vastly expanded some restaurants, like La Hacienda now is there, and they're making things bigger. I don't know if you guys heard that there's a rumor that the patisserie at France is doubling in size, going to like 3,000 square feet. Woo! Yeah, I know, right? but that's interesting. The the thing that the surcharge that they added for no shows now, I think those are all adjustments that they're making, and really it's been driven by the dining plan.
You know, adding to what you were saying, I can't help but remember when the dining plan first started going free, how hard it was to be able to get into any restaurant on property if you didn't have an ADR. Anybody with me on that?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I think that we were all making an adjustment to how we also vacation here, because normally I would have just come down and, you know, oh, where do I want to eat tonight? And you kind of just go to wherever you want to go. You wait 20 or 30 minutes and you're seated, you know, with a party of two or four. And I know that...
Or 12.
or 25, 30.
It happens.
All appetizers.
Your reservations are silly.
And like, you weren't able to, like, you would have to literally get a cast member to help you find a place to eat, because they would have to keep checking all of the different restaurants because they were all booked. So, I definitely go along with that as one of the big changes.
Yeah, Len, I think when we started the podcast, the dining plan was generally a good option. You had to do a little bit of work, but
remember,
you can make it work.
$35 a day, remember that?
Yeah.
I remember those days.
And today, I mean, you know, all heard this many times, I don't think any one of us on the podcast would advise that it's a good value.
It really depends. I mean, if you've got...
He's changing his tune.
We did a show.
Come on, don't back down.
There are instances
he's 1,000 years old now.
Exactly. If you've got kids and you're doing a lot of character meals, it makes sense.
Of course. Then there's that whole debate, Len, about are the meals worth it in the first place?
Yeah.
Well,
if you've got a
the
kid
cost
and you're paying
charging.
$15.
Right, yes. Right.
Or if Len's paying.
I was just about to say that. How can it not be worth it if Len's paying?
Right.
Let's go to Ohana's.
That's right. Remember, that was the... Yeah, Ohana, remember that?
Yes, I do.
It's a great meal.
It was because I paid for it.
It was free.
It tasted very good.
Hey, Newell was there. He heard you, you know.
Mike Scopa, what do you think? 6 years, big time, a lot of time to make changes. What do you
think? Two things come to mind. First, how Disney has embraced the social media aspect of doing business. Secondly, 2005, when we started the podcast, was about the same time that Run Disney became a brand. And look what they've done. This is a weekend that exemplifies how popular that brand has become and how many people are now getting off the couch and doing a lot of things and how it has brought them all kinds of revenue. So I've seen that grow tremendously, because since 2005, they've added things like the Wine and Dine Half, the Princess Half Marathon, the Tinkerbell Half, Coast to Coast, all that stuff. I think that's been a huge revenue stream for them, and I think that's a big deal, that and the social media stuff.
Yeah, and you know, adding to that too, I just remember when my kids were growing up, and they've been watching Playhouse Disney on TV for a long time, and you noticed that as that shift started happening, that they were also promoting a lot of activity type events, and you were seeing little spots where like get up and go outside and play with a friend or something like that. So it was definitely widespread that it seems that momentum.
Well, the thing is that it's not just a race. It's an entire weekend of activities for the whole family. The family fun run, the 5K, all kinds of things. The expo, there are all kinds of things going on. It's not just a race. In the true Disney fashion, they jumped with both feet into this, and they've made it into a huge successful brand.
That's a great way you present that. And I'm going to touch on something that you and I were talking about last night. And, there's the 5K, there's the half marathon, there's the full marathon, there's the goofy, there's so many different ways that it's run. And I think that really gives everybody an opportunity to try something that fits for them right, And for everyone that joins and runs or walks or however, they reach the finish line.
Limps.
And it's a tremendous accomplishment, And one way or another, it really, I don't think it matters how many or so on and so forth, but, going in with the mindset and finishing and doing it, that's a big deal for a lot of people, and that's why I like the...
Another change has been the facial hair policy.
What is that, by the way?
It's the Santa look. That's what I've been calling it.
Well, we got to do something for the 1,000th show. I thought we agreed to do this, Next.
Next.
I'll go
Mr.
next.
Mr. Hochberg.
I think... 2005 was Michael Eisner was still the CEO of Disney back then, and I think one thing that's changed, unfortunately, has and obviously Eisner's gone now, and we have the Bob Iger era. I think, and I think looking back, I feel this way strongly that in 2005 and certainly before that, Walt Disney World was about the guest experience. That was their number one focus. Let's put it that way. And I think today the focus is on making a profit, and guest experience has fallen to second place. So I think that's been a change that I've noticed among Disney.
I can't believe it. You really brought up one of the big ones is the change of leadership, and that's a tremendous one. So I don't know how I could have overlooked that one. That's a good one. Annette.
Yeah, let me just add on to that because that was one. Now, any room you want, there's a different charge for it. All the different options for rooms.
Sure.
Where you used to want to just be close to the bus stop, now, you've got the king bed that costs more and the king bed in this room in this hotel, whichever building you want, it costs different.
Garden view, really, water view, river
water view,
view.
Right. Royal view.
Yeah, that's right.
Royal rooms, all the different stuff. I love the new changes they're making to the hotels, but it makes for many, many more options, which means your first-time guest, there's a lot of choices they have to make, a lot of decisions. So, good for anybody that's trying to help somebody plan a trip, because it really is. I used to laugh and say going to Disney is like going to Burger King and getting it your way. There's so many different options out there. So it doesn't, like you were saying, the dining plan sometimes is a fit. It really depends on the situation.
Do you remember the argument we had, me, you, and Mary Waring on an episode? I think it was like one of the Magic Your Way packages or something we're changing, and we had this thing about, Disney's a business first or it's not a business, Do you remember? I mean, we've had this discussion many, many times, but that was one that always stuck in my mind about, are they a business first, but, where does the business side end and the magic begin, so to speak?
Yeah, so, I think you're saying the approach used to be, here's a great idea, let's make money from it.
Right.
And now it's, let's make money, we need a great idea.
Yeah.
Maybe. All right.
It can be very intimidating, I would imagine, for somebody who's not familiar with it. Because if you look at it, you have Magic Your Way. You have with hopper, without hopper, 14-day or non-expiring. You have six different room views and types. I can imagine.
I just
somebody.
Think also just one thing positive that Disney's done, so I don't sound awful about the company. Magic Express has been huge for them. I think it's one of the best things they've ever done.
No, good point.
I mean, it's been a huge ad. So,
no comments, Fred.
Yeah, I'll be quiet.
It's true. I mean, Magical Express has been. I mean,
how many people in this room have used Magical Express? I mean,
wow.
It's a no-brainer if you want to save. I mean, we all talk about rental cars, but it's
It's hard to argue with saving $150, $200 if you just take Magical Express and bus it the whole time.
I think that's one of the things that we talked about a couple of weeks ago in an episode where we're doing the comparison of the value resorts on-site versus off-site. Yeah. But yeah, you throw in the cost of a rental car off-site, it doesn't make much sense to stay off-site. I think they've done really good in keeping the prices competitive for the value in the moderate resorts as compared to the off-site things. Because when we did the episode a couple of weeks ago, I don't think any of us were looking at the prices and saying, yeah, I'd stay off-site for the difference in the money. So they, I mean, give them credit, they do know how to price their product.
Yep.
Very good. Okay, so so nobody thinks I forgot. We're gonna you know, I know that you know we were asking me to kind of pass on this, but I don't want anybody to think I forgot. I want everybody to kind of come up with a question that you might have over 1,000 shows. What would you think of that you might want to ask? Does anybody have any questions that you'd like to ask the panel?
If you could do things like the Star Trek people who go, remember in episode 692 you said this, but then in episode 854 you said that?
Get a life.
Yeah, do that.
Does anybody have any questions that you might have for the team up here? Okay. Mr. Lou Mangiello has a question.
Woo! Remember episode 63 at 14 minutes, 18 seconds?
Yeah! It's a great moment.
Y'all gave him the idea.
I won't ask you the impossible question of a favorite episode, because all of your answers would be different in over 1,000 shows. You probably don't remember them all, and you can't pick a favorite. But if you had to sort of look back and tell somebody who had never heard of you before, or if the show were to end today, which it's not, right?
Hypothetically.
What? And you had to go back and say, you know, the legacy of W today, this is the episode you should listen to because this is one we're most proud of. It's one we remember the most.
Thanks.
So thanks, which episode stands out the most?
Let's see. Well, while you were asking that, I was immediately going through and wiping away the cobwebs and trying to figure it out. And the one that came to mind, believe it or not, was the one in which I believe Deb was on and Fred was on, and we tried to raise some money for Magic Meets, and our cameraman, Dennis, was one of those people who was very gracious that night, and I think it was sort of like a telethon. We raised a lot of money for charity that night, and I always look back at that, and Lou, the thing with that is that it was one of those episodes which made me think, wow, when we started this podcast, I never dreamed that that would be something that we would be able to do, to raise money for charity. And so that sticks out in my mind because it was doing something for somebody that we don't know. It was doing something for somebody that we would somehow reach out and help. So that always sticks in my mind. So to me, that's my favorite one, I guess.
Matt, how about you?
You know, I was thinking of one. The thing we always hear about is how people enjoy the back and forth that we have on the show. And I think a great example of that was the To Take Kids Out of School or Not episode. And that one generated a lot of feedback as well. But, I mean, we had some really strong feelings. I mean, there were, you know, some of us thought that it was the most important thing in the world to not do that. It was like, you know, you just don't do that. And others are, you know, I know I was on the camp that said, you know, a couple days won't kill them. And we just had this back and forth thing. It was a great rapport because that was the kind of thing that, you know, a great discussion. And it was just exemplary of what the sort of back and forth that we do on the show almost every week.
Can we back up and discuss that a little bit? Because I think, if I'm not wrong, that we said that depending upon the age, it shouldn't be an issue. If you're in high school, it may be a problem for the teenager who's going to go back and make up the work, but if it's the first couple of grades, it shouldn't be that much of a thing.
Yeah, I think that's the conclusion we came to. I think we went into it with like black and white definitions, yes or no, and then I think it evolved
into
that.
And I think that's the way we usually do things on the podcast, which is good. Yeah.
What about you, Lim? Favorite episode?
Favorite episode. So all my favorite episodes are the funny ones. I think the first one that we thought was really funny was the first Christina episode.
Like, oh, that was great.
Was it like 63, something like that?
79.
79.
Who
remembers? So has anyone not heard the Christina episode? Raise your hand.
All right, so we had my, you should go back and listen to it.
There
so,
were threads on the Disboards about how they were never going to buy an unofficial guide ever again because of the comments.
So
on that.
We had my younger sister Christina on, who is hysterical, but she has a very dry sense of humor. So we were asking her, I think Matt asked her, what she liked to do in Walt Disney World when she wasn't working for me in the unofficial guide. And she started saying things like, you know what, I like to give tourists incorrect directions to different attractions, and when their parents aren't looking, I like to knock the ice cream off of children's cones.
Or pop a balloon.
And stuff like this. And we're like, oh yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, I remember the time you did that. You know, just you know, thinking that everyone would think it was hysterical. And apparently there are a sizable amount of the population that listened to the show at the time were really literalists who took every single word exactly the way that we said it. And so we got a ton of complaints on that. And then we had to go back and say, you know, she's been my sister all of her life.
She was adopted.
I don't recall her ever knocking this.
She'll never be on again.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. I think that was, and the interesting thing about that was also the first show where we realized the reach of the audience. Because we had been doing it then for, you know, a few months. But we didn't realize how big the audience for the show was. And then we got this...
The hate mail?
Well, it wasn't all hate mail. It was like 50-50. You know,
it was hate mail.
50-50 yeah. Going like...
It was hate mail.
Yeah, there's a lot of... I think we focused on the hate mail.
But we only showed you the good emails.
Oh, okay,
that's it.
You shielded me. But it was pretty funny. That was really interesting just to see how big the audience was at the time.
Good times.
Good times, good times.
Good times.
How about you, Mike? Mike Newell, do you have a favorite show that comes off the top of your head?
Probably my favorite show to this day was our very first live show, which was April 2006.
Sounds about right.
The fact that we went live, that we were able to go live, and then people were actually calling in, and we said that night...
we were going to wait around and wait for the phone to ring, like, yes, okay.
No,
yeah, any second.
That's when you realize that there's a reach, that we were actually reaching people. People actually wanted to call in. Instead of the emails, they were able to call in. And just from a tech aspect, that was my favorite.
What kind of things were you guys expecting, you know, when you thought about, you know, okay, first live show?
I was expecting pizza orders. I really was thinking, so we're going to get that call for Domino's in Orlando.
And no one has ever cursed. It's amazing that we've never had to edit a live show. It's just amazing.
You're giving
Are we
ideas.
Talking about the caller?
I'm talking about the caller.
I believe I might have once or twice.
with a mic muted, right? Annette.
Well, I think mine, because I came along later on, this one has a special place in my heart because Sip and Snack grew. Yeah. That first one. It was an idea that Scopa and I had over a piece of chocolate cake in Norway. We were talking about doing a progressive dinner.
Chocolate. How isn't that odd?
Chocolate cake.
I know, it morphed.
But it was supposed to be a progressive dinner. That was the idea. And then we come to Lynn with this idea, and he goes, yeah, I got 3 hours. Let's do it.
To this day, that's the number one episode people who I meet for the first time always bring up. It's like, I really like episode 400-something.
Well, I hate that it's my favorite, but I...
So you can imagine how surprised we were when we all met up with Lynn in Canada... The United Kingdom, and we're ready to go, and he's eating a muffin before we even start.
Before
the whole coffee. Thing started, I had a
amateur.
Cherry Danish and a Coke.
What are you doing?
And a coffee.
I'm like, what?
For the record, it's the only time we did three of those, and one of the persons up here has never participated at all.
The smart one. After the first one, I had no desire to do it.
Yeah. Isn't that also when you guys realized that Len might have needed an escort going to the bathroom? You know, just in case there was some cheating
right.
going on?
That's right.
That was a low point.
It was one
the
quote.
The best part of the entire thing.
That depends on how you look at it.
Didn't we have one quote about that?
The what?
Do you remember about going to the bathroom or something? Like,
what's a bathroom?
A bathroom?
Off the top.
What
is he talking about?
That's
a bathroom.
Whatever was said in the men's room will stay in the men's room.
Yeah, that's right, yes.
But the funniest thing about that entire episode was, about the whole thing was, I'm going to drink the maple syrup in Canada. And it's like this, you know, 6 ounce thing of maple syrup. And I figure that's the easiest thing to go down. And this little kid runs up to me like it's a movie and says, "Don't do it, mister. Don't do it." Like say it ain't
that was
so.
Fred Hazelton.
Yeah, I was like, what?
You mean he actually had more common sense than you did?
Yeah. I mean, clearly he was right, but it was just like, who are you? Why are you here? Okay.
So. I just wish that we had recorded it as we did it. That was the one thing that was missing.
Well,
there's
he
some
did
things.
It and he ran away. He
well, yeah,
get,
I know. Just left.
That was funny.
No, it wasn't.
Okay, so I got another question that I want to pose. I got another quote that I want to put out there for people to try to get a guess at.
That's your first thing.
I know. What's that?
Maybe.
Sorry,
you ready?
We're doing our own show.
Maybe it's part of being on the ship. I don't know. Motion of the ocean?
Oh,
I remember the
anybody,
quote.
Does anybody know who said that?
I have a guess.
Who said that?
Sorry.
Okay, can you remember where?
We're asking the audience, not us.
Well, no audience.
I got another one. But it was actually at the live broadcast at the Starbucks in the Bahamas.
Oh. I would have got that wrong.
Or that.
Okay. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
What?
Anyone? You guys
one more,
know?
One more time, Fred. What was that?
You can make me say it again.
Yes. Say it again.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
No.
No.
No, it's not me.
Quit helping them.
I know who said it.
You do?
Go ahead. You can let them guess. But
ask the audience.
Anybody? Last chance.
How many people say Scopa said that? How many people say Annette? Annette? How many people say Newell? It's not me. I don't think it's me. All right, so who's left? How many people say Matt? Yeah, that's my guess.
Very good. It was Matt Hotchberg.
That was me.
Episode 783, October 8th, 2010, and they were talking about the Wine and Dine Half Marathon during the show opening when we were announcing, you were announcing Len.
Anytime I can quote Gwen Stefani, I try to.
Here's a special guest that was on the show, so let's see if you guys can figure this one out. It doesn't matter if your kids are running around with no clean underwear, the ADRs come first. Anybody out there know?
It was a guest.
It was a guest.
It was not us.
Anybody out there know it? Well, what show? Do you remember who said that?
It was episode 714, and I was the one who said it.
Wow. That's why I was looking at you, and I'm like, oh, there's a ringer, but.
That's JL Knopp for everyone who's not familiar.
Don't go around with children. Woo!
Cher, that's the name of Sonny Bono's ex-wife.
Annette.
Anybody up here?
I was going to go with Scopa.
I would thought of Scopa, too.
Me, too.
Yeah, me, too.
Len Testa.
I'm a huge
Episode 390, when talking about the Main Street Bake Shop. Annette says, this is where you learn to share, and that's how you start with it.
See, now it makes sense.
Now Len always focused.
Yes. Now I recall.
Okay, last one here. Excuse me, point of order, product of Sweden.
Product of what?
It was of Sweden.
Snack and swing. Sick.
Who said it?
I'm going to say Becky.
We were also pissed at Mike during that episode.
I'm going to say Becky.
Becky, they're saying you said it. Anybody?
I think it was Scopa.
That sounds like a Scopa.
No. I think it was against Scopa.
Because Becky, Becky usually says, excuse me.
This is Mike Newell. When we were presented with
was this
Julia
Germany?
Marie's
where
50 cookies for Sip and Snack by Mr. Scopa that all of us had to eat at least 75%, 37 and a half cookies out of the pack.
From that particular country.
Correct.
Right.
And all of a sudden, Mike was looking at the package and said, wait, point of order. Says product of Sweden.
I don't believe this is Sweden in World like, Showcase.
Point of order, Mr.
Sweden,
Newell.
Norway,
you
whatever.
Don't drag your beer into my beer.
It was a penalty.
Yes.
It was your penalty cookie.
So we're eating.
Which I never would have gotten caught if it wasn't for Annette.
For you kids.
Well, you didn't stand up for me in China.
No.
So.
No.
Hello, I drank your tea in China.
With the bug.
With the bug.
All the tea in China.
God, that was the worst.
All right, so let's quickly go through one by one. I'm not sure how much everybody knows goes into making the show, but it's more than just, you know, getting on and talking. right? So
no, it's not really.
It depends on who you ask.
From my perspective, it's not. Okay, sorry.
So I'd like to kind of get an idea, you know, what everybody's involvement is in the show. You know, obviously, you know, we hear the one side of it and see sometimes, but what goes on behind the scenes? Matt, I'll let you start.
We're talking about just the show itself or the production of?
You know, like, what do you think your specific role is? Like, does everybody have their own, you know, specific role and things that they do? You know, what role do you play behind the scenes to prepare or get the show ready? Or,
well, I mean, to get the show ready, when we get ready to record, 9 out of 10 times we don't have a topic ready. We'll just sit, we'll be like this. Hey, guys, how's it going? Who's got a topic for tonight?
They talk football.
Usually wrestling. We're talking about what's going on
wrestling.
First.
Yeah, wrestling.
Wrestling.
And then we just try to figure out, and of course, assuming everyone's here, because if not, we start texting people to see if they can come record right now with us. But assuming everyone's here, we try to figure out what we're going to talk about and go from there.
So I know that you always ask the questions at the email. Do you, like, literally just click from one to one, or do you, like, bring up a bunch of them?
Before the show, I'll just bring up a bunch of them and scan through them generally. I mean, usually from the topic, the subject lines, you can kind of tell, you know, if they're going to be pertinent or if they're going to be, like, off or something like that. But, I mean, when the emails come in initially, we're not recording, I'll go through them once a day to go see what the new ones are and, you know, screen them, make sure they're okay or they're not, like, complaints or spam or whatever, and delete them out. But then I just pick out a handful of them. And then the last question of the day, I obviously fish through for interesting subject lines to give Newell to choose from.
Or the ones that are 12-plus months old that get bumped up to the top, right?
Those two.
Mike Scopo, what kind of role do you play behind the scenes?
Oh, my goodness. Well, getting back to the topics thing, every once in a while I'll get a little antsy about the topic issue, and I'll send out a list of ideas and try to get everybody to start doing topics. When we first started the show, I think that I had this little schedule, which I don't do anymore, and we would have on there ideas, so we knew going into whatever night we were recording what we were going to talk about. So I try to do that. I try to use whatever contacts I have down here to bring guests on, to try to generate a topic that is timely, things like that. Also, when we're doing things like events like this or whatever, I try to do whatever I can to help put the language together. If we're doing rules like sip and snack rules, I'll try my
best. You're very good at.
Yeah, try to do it. You know, try to draft some rules that, you know, obviously play to my strengths and stuff like that and things like that. So basically, you know, we all do a little bit of the topic stuff, but I feel like I need to do a lot of that and try to bring in guests, because I know Matt does a lot of stuff with the hosting and Mike with the production and Len with a lot of research, and Annette, you know, brings the travel part to it. So I think we all need to complement each other's abilities, and I think that's what I bring to it, that skill set to, you know, the language and the topics and the and the guests or whatever.
Annette, what do you think? What do you bring to the table? Chocolate cake.
Well, I brought chocolate cake. Well, for event planning with us guys, I mean, it's kind of cool because I can go, hey guys, we can, you know, when we started talking about the 1,000th show, I was like, let's do an event. I can plan it. I can cook. I can bake.
And there's also a couple names for that.
There's also episodes that we'll say this is an Annette episode, especially with the, because we don't know the ins and outs of, like, the tickets, packages, and stuff like that, and that's something that you always bring. Otherwise, it'll be like, yeah, they have Magic Your Way packages.
It costs something.
Well, I have that to bring, and then I like to think that since I'm with four guys, I bring a little bit of the female aspect to a trip planning trip, you know, with the kids' perspective.
And the mom.
The mom perspective.
Brings that off.
I know I don't have
side.
Little ones anymore, but I definitely brought them when they were little, so I feel like I can bring that into a little bit because, you know, unlike Scopa, I did take my kids out of school. My kids came
ouch.
All the time.
Ouch.
Out of high school,
ouch.
Kindergarten, preschool. Yep.
Ouch.
Yep.
Ouch.
Len Testa, what do you bring to the show?
That's a good question. All the profanity, apparently. No.
All
so
the rocker
comments. I think I do a lot of the back-end research for some of the topics. The interesting thing about the show now versus back then is the first couple hundred episodes, you could talk about anything in Walt Disney World and not redo a topic. Like, you can go through all the attractions and all the lands and all the parks and all the hotels and then all the restaurants and then all the counter-service restaurants. But by 1,000 episodes, you've really touched on everything. The thing now is...
No, well, we should probably go back. Probably time to go back and start over. But the topics that we discuss now are things that take us days, if not weeks, to do research for. So, like the upcoming show that we did on ADRs, that was literally a month of research. You know, boiled down to a 20-minute show. The stuff that we did on the hotel charts, that was a week of work. You know, for a 20-minute show, it's more effort going into the shows to keep them relevant from a planning perspective. That's sort of the big difference between then and now. So, a lot of work goes into it.
I think that's wholeheartedly recognized by everybody. Mike Bull.
My sole job is just to make them sound good.
And that you do
job.
Well, my friend.
And cut out all of Len's, you know, explicit.
The Wizard of Oz behind that curtain.
That's about it.
Okay, so...
Okay, so you guys don't know this because hopefully it gets bleeped out, but sometimes at the very beginning of every show, one of us will throw in something just so bad, just to make sure Newell is listening when Matt starts off with the, hey, how's it going, Scopa? There'll be this long string of profanities that come out just to make sure that Mike is listening to the show.
Yeah, thanks
if
for
you
that.
Ever get the chance to hear
not
them,
watching the ball
hysterical.
Game.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not just on the live shows where we have to go, hey, Scopa,
where's
off
the
edit,
linebacker?
Off a mute.
or to make sure he's awake, right?
It's just a way. It's a way of keeping after 1,000 episodes. It's a way of keeping everything fresh too. So,
well, I think Fred, we got to wrap this up a little bit. Before we go, we wanted to take a little bit of time to give some thanks because there's no doubt in my mind, and I don't think anyone's mind here, that we would not be here today if it weren't for some other people that aren't on this stage. There's so many people to thank. We'll start with our sponsors are an obvious one. MEI and Mouse Fan Travel has been a huge partner, and we thank Becky Mankin for sticking with us and giving us lots of money for dumb ideas like camping in March.
Twice.
December.
And we also have All-Star Vacation Homes. They like our ad reads. Glad. Touring Plans has been a great sponsor for us. Thank you, Len. Actually, funny story about Touring Plans, very quickly. During the negotiations, we would say, okay, Len, this is how much it's going to cost. And Len goes, no, you got to up that. Okay, well. So we keep increasing the price until Len goes, yeah, that sounds about fair.
I think he did that for tax purposes.
Right.
Exactly.
I want to thank All Ears Net. Deb is in the corner there for the live shows and sponsoring. We also thank people that have been a part of the show as well from time to time. Some are in the audience. I mean, Fred Hazelton, who has filled in many a time. Deb, you know, has been on there. I mean, everyone, AJ, Emily, Steve Seifert. There's so many people who have been a part of WW Today and made the shows continue, you know, when someone's not here. Or they bring their own content to the table, so we thank them. And also a lot of people backstage, Philip, who does the wiki, right? I mean, the wiki you see is done wholeheartedly by none of us. It's Philip in the UK. He also does the best of episodes. He'll compile those. And also Jay Penguin, his real name is Jay, I think.
I don't know his last name.
I don't know. We just know their usernames.
So I've actually met Philip in the UK.
Oh, did you?
Am I the only
I've never met him.
I'm the
I've
only one
him.
That's actually met Philip, yeah.
Yeah, and he does the wiki. He just sits there and goes through the episodes and recompiles them. Jared, who did the music video and the songs, he just emails them randomly. And, I mean, he's been amazing. I mean, we've gotten, you know, there's so many people that have helped this show.
Mike just passed me
that
other people to thank.
Oh, right.
Our producers.
The producers. Yeah, the writers. Now the staff, a big thanks to Mike and the people that are here at Atlantic Dance Hall that
thanks, Mike.
Gave Newell most of the day off. You know, and obviously, yeah, Mr. Voice, Rick Gregg, Chris Eliopoulos, who's done the artwork for us for a lot of things, and most importantly, honestly, is all of you, the listeners. I know some of you listen. You guys, I mean, there are people that you guys listen every single live show. I see you all there all the time in the chat room. There are those that comment almost all the time. And you know, without you guys, there is no show, right? Because if we didn't think that anyone was listening, it'd been like, you know, I mean, there's how many football games would we rather watch, you know, if that was the case. But it's been, you know, you guys make the show for us. So the fact that you guys took time out of your vacation, in some cases made vacation time to come down here to be with us, means a lot to us. And it's awesome that we can have this kind of venue here and have you here. And last but not least, I wanted to thank Mr. Fred Block for emceeing this event this evening. Oh yeah, and of course, thank you, Dennis, who's taking our photos. They'll make us all look nice when we get.
Thank you.
You can all see them later online.
Okay, so there's a million-dollar question that's everybody's been kind of wondering. And I started the show by asking you guys how it all began. So now I'm gonna end the show by asking you guys
how will it all end?
In a big bang.
What do you guys see moving forward? What is the future of the podcast hold for us today?
I thought this was it. I've made alternate plans.
Fine, we'll keep going, fine.
Yes, we're gonna keep going.
You realize that what this means is that somewhere in the future, there will be a podcast opening that will be the. I'm running out of things, but we'll see.
Yeah, we have a lot of great ideas this year, and we've been brainstorming a lot of things to keep the show not only current but also keep moving forward, keep doing new things, new ideas. That's one thing we really want to do with WDP. We don't want this to be the same show it was in 2007. We want to continue, and we're starting to experiment with some ideas for how we can do more interactive things, more fun things. Coming down the pipeline very quickly, the new WDW Today website, since it's the same one from 2005, we think maybe it's time to get it updated, so you'll be seeing that in about a month or two. And some other things that we're planning. We really want to make this fun and exciting, and we've got some ideas, so we're hoping that in the next couple of years we're going to see some new things, and we hope you're going to be there for the ride.
Well, thanks for everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you to you guys for 1,000 shows, and we hope to hear 1,000 more. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.
This episode of Walt Disney World Today is sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, who specialize in cruises and vacation packages to Disney and other destinations around the world. MEI and Mouse Fan Travel is an authorized Disney vacation planner. They provide their signature services with no additional agency fees. To get your free no-obligation quote, visit www.mousefantravel.com.